The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
We're at the 2013 Commonwealth Financial National Conference. Now we want to bring in on the Ring Central phone line Lewis Alexander, Chief Economist at Nomura Holdings. Thanks for joining Bloomberg Radio, Lou.
My pleasure.
All right, let's get straight to this morning's data. We've been waiting for some fresh data. 2.8%, first look at Q3 GDP. Perhaps not as good as at first glance, though. Are you changing your Q4 tracking forecast after the data?
Actually, no. This one was very close to what we were expecting. So final sales of around 2, but a big contribution from inventories. That is a problem for Q4. We've got growth coming in Q4 at just below 2. But this is pretty much what we expected.
So, Lou, then, Kathleen Hayes here. Always great to have you back on the show. Regarding the inventory build, the conclusion is then that this isn't the kind of inventory build that occurred because businesses are optimistic. They're looking at demand and anticipating rising demand, because that would be the healthy reason behind an inventory build. This is presumed to be an inventory build that happened unexpectedly because they were expecting in the last quarter the demand that didn't occur.
I think when you look at the various business surveys like ISM and whatnot, I think it's a little bit of both. The fact that, say, for example, ISM, Chicago PMI have held up into October, I think suggests that some of this was anticipated, and so I wouldn't totally write it off and say it's all just negative. But look, the economy is still stuck in this kind of 2% zip code in terms of where final demand is. That's what we had in the second quarter and the third quarter. Obviously, with a shutdown, that's going to take a bit of a bite out of the fourth quarter. We haven't seen the pickup in growth that we've all been expecting, and I think is important for things like the Fed making a variety of decisions on tapering and whatnot going forward.
I just wanted to bring you this headline. Twitter has now opened for trading. It opened at $45.10. The IPO price, though, was $26. So we're seeing a gain for Twitter right now of 76% for those who managed to get in at the open. $45.72 is what a Twitter share is trading at right now. Lou, let me ask you about the ECB cutting the rate this morning, the benchmark interest rate by 25 basis points to 25 basis points. We now have two extraordinarily easy central banks, would you say, of the G3?
Yeah, and you could sort of add Japan is pursuing a pretty aggressive policy, and UK is showing a lot of forbearance as well. So we're getting a lot of monetary accommodation.
So in terms of interest rate differentials, are we going to see them sort of start coinciding with each other once again, as opposed to diverging?
I think that's probably the case for a little bit here. But I think the U.S. is in a somewhat different place in that regard than others, just in terms of where we are in the cycle. But I think there's no question that the Fed is not anxious to start raising rates. And to the extent that the ECB is going to be moving in that direction, that does suggest convergence for some period.
So the Federal Reserve, the cut by the ECB, does this also, from the vantage point of Federal Reserve policy, when that first taper might occur, is this potentially another reason for the Fed to say, well, we'd like to taper, we thought we were going to taper, but not now?
I think they're pretty independent. I don't think there's what the ECB done has a
but huge... Lou, I guess what I mean is, in terms of European economy being weak enough that the ECB is now feeling it's necessary to take this step, in terms of, so for the Fed then looking at US exports and what it means for the US economy.
Yeah, and what I would say is the rest of the world is not all that important to us. Europe is an important part of the euro area. I think in some ways the ECB's decision was less about growth and more about inflation, and that is relevant to the taper decision. But look, as somebody who used to work in the Division of International Finance of the Federal Reserve Board, I wouldn't overestimate the degree to which U.S. monetary policy decisions reflect foreign conditions.
It is having an impact on the dollar, though. We're seeing the dollar index, the trade-weighted dollar, up 0.8%. The euro back down now to $1.3373. So it's certainly going to make a difference to European companies, at least.
No question. I totally agree with the sign of the effect. It's just a question of how important it is in terms of driving these decisions. I think, frankly, things like, are you going to see a rebound in domestic investment over the next couple of quarters? How is the next round of the fiscal negotiations going to be resolved? I think are ultimately more important for what the Fed's going to do then.
Then let's look at those things, Lou, because this strikes me as spot on with everything we know about the Federal Reserve. This is their focus. A big, in fact, a couple of big studies out from the Federal Reserve, which point toward a need for the Fed to stay very accommodative, for the Fed to use its forward guidance, maybe even push the forward guidance out from 2015 to 2017. Already a big debate over how much this is a sort of a stylized economics, sort of monetary economics model that looks good on paper, but maybe doesn't have too much to do with how the economy really works, versus those who say, yes, this is a very good pathway for what the Fed will and should do, which in the end is to just stay very, very accommodative for a very long time.
So I think the two papers are, first of all, they reflect work that's been done by the staff over the last year or so. And, you know, it is reflective of information that you've probably, that the FOMC has been seeing over the last year. I think it makes a pretty compelling case for the need to maintain accommodation for an extended period of time. And I think in that sense, pushing policy expectations in that direction, I think, is right. Having said that, these are just the staff. These are not policymakers. These are papers that have been in the works for a while. It's not like this is new work. So one can kind of overestimate how important it is, but I think the direction of the message is pretty clear.
Yeah, I made that point yesterday to somebody, and they said, well, it is just the staff, but it's the top staff. It's the top research official and, you know, some of the very, very high-up staffers at the Fed. Lou, do you think that the threshold might be lowered, the unemployment rate threshold, to 6% or even 5.5%, as perhaps suggested by these papers? Does it need to be?
I think it's clear. I think the strongest message to take away from this is that the FOMC is looking for ways to strengthen the forward guidance as they work through tapering. I think the chairman indicated this over the summer when he talked about the need to essentially change the mix of policy accommodation. So as you reduce asset purchases, you strengthen forward guidance. And in some ways, the way they do it is less important than the fact that they're going to do it. I'm not convinced that they're going to lower the unemployment threshold. I think there are other things they could do that I think, frankly, will be easier to get agreement around the table. But the most important point is that they are very actively seeking to strengthen forward guidance, and that has implications for where rates at the front end of the curve ought to be.
Lou, does this create jobs? I mean, ultimately, this is the point, right, of this whole bond purchase program, keeping the key rate at zero to lower unemployment by boosting stock prices, creating a wealth effect, and ultimately this is supposed to create jobs. Is it working? Is this an effective policy?
I believe it is working. It's not anywhere near as effective as everyone would like. But I think the thing to remember is the fundamental challenge the Fed faces is it has an imperfect set of tools. When interest rates get to the zero bound, the Fed has a limited ways that they can affect the economy, but I think those things are effective. In other words, if they weren't doing them, things would be worse. Now, is that satisfactory? Absolutely not. This is, you know, no one would argue that the economy is doing as well as it should. But if the simple question is, are we better off because they're doing these things or not, my answer is we're better off.
Okay. Well, Lou Alexander, thank you so very much. We're better off having had you on the show today. Chief Economist at Nomura Holdings, joining us from New York City on the Ring Central phone line.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.